The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And we're live.
Are we live? Yeah. How about you over there? That's the mic that always takes a while to warm up. Yeah, so...
Yeah, we still can't hear you yet. We'll work on it.
We'll work on it. We'll get back to you.
Well, it wouldn't be a normal Shasta Live show without some kind of technical difficulties at the beginning and throughout.
Yeah.
So, welcome, Northern California. This is Shasta Live by the Shasta County Chamber.
And you're Nigel.
I am today.
Yep.
And you are?
I think I'm going to be myself today.
James.
And you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Shasta. Live.
Yes.
And streaming all over the world at KCNR1460.com. So,
and all of our archives are on ShastaCountyChamber.com. And at this point, there's a lot. We've done quite a few shows.
And I'm always excited when the guests are here and they're looking, she doesn't look so nervous because we've had you on before. You've got it together pretty good, but I just like to remind you that on our global scale of listeners, there's only 1.2 million people listening live right now.
Ain't no thing but a jelly bean, baby.
All right,
there you go. So this last Monday of the month is a partnership with Eat Shasta.
Yeah.
And Larry from Eat Shasta is here. I don't know if anybody can hear him yet. He's fine.
Hopefully. Yeah,
I think so. We bring in restaurant or bar owners.
It's a historic bar night.
Yes. Historic
bar night.
Introduce yourself. Talk about Red.
Larry Ramsey. Yeah. Eat Shasta. We have the app. Download our app. Eat like a local. We have restaurants. We have bars. We have entertainment. And we're growing.
Yes. Eat like you're local, but spin like you're from Bel Air.
Exactly. There you go.
And, because food is pretty much everybody's favorite topic.
Well, yeah, and it's super, you know.
So we have the Bengals.
Yeah, really?
welcome, Emily. You're a returning guest. You
yeah, that's
say
because
hi?
You're a busy young
like
lady.
Like you needed one more thing to do.
It's a problem at this point, yes. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Emily.
Donna. Hi, everyone.
And Donna's also always a sidekick.
Casey, hello.
And Casey's new to our table.
She's our new sidekick.
She's the new sister in crime.
I'm new.
No.
Just new here.
New here.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us. So you have Suburama, a couple of food trucks, and now you have an additional project.
Yes. So we have Suburama, 5 food trucks between us, and then now we have the Silver Dollar Club in Shasta Lake City. So Ooh. Proud new owners and very excited about it.
Name the food trucks again, because
we have Suburama food truck. Uh-huh. We have Fast and Fresh Grill, and there's actually 2 of those. There's one called Silly Sweets that does like lemonade and snow cones and just everything sweet, and then there's Holy Crate food truck as well.
Holy crepe.
Holy crepe.
That's the one with the French fries.
Awesome.
Right?
French fries and loaded crepes, yep.
Yeah.
What's the best performing food truck for you?
It's pretty neck and neck with Fast and Fresh Grill and Holy Crepe. So those ones, we pretty much pull the same numbers.
So do you ever just go crazy and do a Fast and Fresh Crepe?
No, but we do have a crepe named after Donna, the owner of Fast and Fresh, called the Donna on Holy Crepe. And it's a cream, banana, strawberry, and caramel crepe that she would always order. So when we redid our menu, we added it. And it's quite popular, actually.
Wow.
Very good. So how did the Silver Dollar...
Yeah, what's the history of that?
How did that come about? You were driving down the street one day and said, you know what?
Well, actually, it was for sale about 4 years ago, and it was right, I think, when I bought Suburama, and I was like, oh, I wish I knew that was for sale, because originally me and Casey have been trying to buy a bar for, like, the last 5 years, and we actually went as far as being in escrow to buy one. And so I was like, oh, I wish we were able to get that. It was a really good deal when she bought it. And I heard through someone through a chamber that, hey, I think the current owner is selling the Silver Dollar. And I actually am friends with her, so I texted her and I tracked her down. I was like, where are you at? What events are you doing? And I went and I was like, so I heard, you know, you might be selling. And I don't even know if she had listed it yet. And I was like, we want it. So let's figure out what that looks like. So you worked it. Yeah. So I tracked her down and I was like, we want to buy it. Let's figure out how to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. You walk away. I give you a few coins. I'll give you a couple silver dollars and you go away.
Yeah. We'll be like, we'll take it. You want out? We got you.
So I honestly, as long as I've ever been here, I've never been there. So it has a bar in it?
So the Silver Dollar Club is
It is a bar.
It's a
drinking establishment.
It's a dive bar.
It's not a dive bar. It's a historic bar.
Okay,
it's a historic dive bar.
It's an old historic dive bar.
Technically not. That's its primary face to the world. It's not a food establishment.
No, so there's not even a kitchen in it.
Okay.
So 1938 is when they built the Silver Dollar Club, and it was a bar.
Yeah.
10 years later, and this is I'm getting this information from customers.
Because a lot of people have history.
Is it 1938?
1938 is when it was
built.
They've
gotten beat up there, got pregnant there. I mean, they know.
A lot of people went there as kids, which I find those stories funny because different times.
Yeah.
And then they built a restaurant next door, and I don't know when the restaurant closed yet, mm-hmm. but that was absorbed into the bar space. So now it's just a larger bar. So, yeah.
Do you have plans on changing that? Or is that what you're going to keep the establishment?
We're going to keep it. It's history, as best as we can. We do want to add a small kitchen into the back so we can. We're food people.
Yeah,
so
that's why I'm asking.
We want to put some food in there.
You could even put a hot dog stand right in the parking lot.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it will have food.
Or a food truck.
Yeah, or a food truck. So right now we've been doing like chili cheese dogs and like easy bar food for game days and stuff like that. So
1938. So is it haunted?
You know, I thought it was for a minute because the first day I closed by myself, I heard like whispering and I was like, oh my gosh. And then I realized one of the TVs was still on and quietly talking. So far nothing weird has happened.
Oh, that's funny.
So when was the dam built?
The dam just had, I believe, its 100-year anniversary. Oh, no, 75 years.
Yes, it was 70.
So it was. They just had the 75-year anniversary of the dam. And so we're about to have our 90-year anniversary for the bar. So
yeah,
when it.
Parts of that.
Yeah, so it's definitely like a boom town build the bar was. So.
And then. California is so strange with their liquor licenses and all that stuff. So you were able to transfer that and keep it as it was, meaning that you didn't have to serve food?
Yeah. No. So it's a full bar liquor license.
Because I've heard there are a lot of people saying that the state is taking those and making people, when they finally sell or transfer, taking them and making it so that you have to have food service with them. So
I think there's a limited number of them, if I understand it correctly, that can be just bars without the food.
Okay. And then it should. Yeah. If that's what it should stay, in my opinion.
Yeah. But. And there was no, they never said anything about us having to do food. We want to do food. And
No, I think it's strange. And then when we were introduced, when you were coming in, and I was asking all the dumb questions because I don't know, you were saying that your gift to the bad girls, the sisters in crime, is is on the bar side of things.
And so
you must be the queen bee there because.
I like that. Yes, absolutely. Well, I came into this with about 5 years of bartending experience.
Okay.
And like Emily said, we had been trying to buy a bar previously, you know, so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what is your specialty? Have you concocted cocktails that are signature to you? Are they your brainchild, modifications of? I mean, like, what are you going to do for us when I show up? Are you going to spin bottles and set things on fire?
I mean, I'm not a flair bartender, and I don't consider myself to be a mixologist.
Okay.
I'm your professional dive bar bartender.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. Some of the best bars I've ever been to have just been, you know, dive bars, literally dive bars.
Yeah, they're the best.
Yeah, and they are. And I had a great time. I rode my motorcycle out to Sturgis with a bunch of friends 13 days out. one of the days I took off, let my friends all go. My mother-in-law and my father-in-law were out at Sturgis. They took a motorhome, you know, they're in their 70s. And so I went riding with them one day, and we rode out to the Badlands. And it's literally like you cross a line, and it goes from things that are living to everything's dead. And it's very weird. But there is a bar out in the middle of the dead zone owned by a woman. And when I got there, she had just kind of returned for a while. No, from prison. She had stabbed somebody. And so I got to meet her, and it was nice. But you roll in, and it's like, you know, white dust everywhere. And it is a shack buried with dead cow bones. There are like a million bones on this place. I mean, it's frightening. And you go inside, and there's like sawdust on the floor and writing on the wall. And it is... it is like nothing I've ever seen in my life. And she's there working the bar, and she is in a mini skirt and has leather on, and her hair is like teased to Jesus, and she's got this gigantic knife on her hip, and it's, yeah.
So you felt right at home.
Exactly. You were happy to be home.
I have pictures.
Tell you what, let's take our first short break, and we'll be right back, and we'll get on to... another classic, right?
I'll teach you how to tease your hair that way.
We'll be right back.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
And we're back.
We
good
are.
Evening. Shasta Live.
I love you. You did a great job. You're really doing bartender and a radio disc jockey very well.
Nice.
Thank you.
Time. So your first time being on the radio?
My first time wearing headphones.
Oh. Do you do karaoke?
Every now and then.
All right.
She's serving up the drink. She's not supposed to be
every
drinking.
Every Thursday
that.
Night. Come
love
on down.
Love it.
Historic Club Klondike.
Club Klondike.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah. How's it going?
I'm going to knock him out with
a beautiful
his own
Lakehead.
Yeah, up in Lakehead, California. And we do karaoke twice a week. We do it Tuesdays and Saturdays.
Do you partake?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I sing and bartend at the same time.
Another singing bartender.
That's right.
I thought you were going to say dance. Do you allow dancing on the
bar? Oh, I do a lot of dancing. Oh, yeah. I used to bartend in a thong, but people don't want to see that. You know
what?
Wow.
I think he's my kindred spirit.
He used to be popular.
So introduce yourself, and how long have you had Club Klondike?
My name is Dan Thompson, and my wife and I have had Club Klondike for 3 years now.
3 years. What made you do that?
Well, we did it for two reasons. One is I used to be a general and painting contractor. I went completely blind in my right eye, and I've had three surgeries now. I can see again, kind of blurry, but then the other reason was it was about to close its doors for the last time.
Yeah, I would have been sad.
There was the guy that had it anyway. But but we did a lot of repairs to it, got it all fixed up, and got it making money again, and we do – Like I say, we do karaoke Tuesdays and Saturdays, do live music on Fridays, most Fridays. This time of year, it kind of starts slowing down, so we're kind of not all the time on the Friday nights, but sometimes I do.
But you have food there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're actually pretty well known for our pizza.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yeah, we do a ton of pizza. That's but cool. We got steak, surf and turf, prawns, burgers, fish and chips.
You had me at prawns.
Yeah.
So you just had me at fish and chips.
So I have a little history with the Klondike.
You do?
Yes. So I spent most of my life up in Lakehead, grew up there as a kid, and the Klondike was the only bar back in the day, way back in the day, that I never got ID'd. It literally was the place we could go and could go anywhere, but we could always go to Lakehead to the Klondike and get in, and we'd be good. That was when it was really bad, though.
I've heard that.
I mean,
before.
It was a really scary place. But
amen.
We loved
there
it.
Is a God.
It was.
I had to work hard in high school.
No. Yeah, no. I've heard some interesting stories of that place, and even my stepmom, she used to live up there, and she's like, oh, that place is a scary place.
Isn't that the place also? Was that the place where they found you after 2 years when you were missing and you were chained in the basement?
No, actually, they don't have a basement. They have upstairs.
And actually, we do have a basement. We do have a basement.
Well, you do.
See, this
okay,
is what you do.
Have upstairs, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the brothel is up in the attic.
You didn't have to say that.
This is how you get
really?
The secrets
well,
out.
I didn't say anything else. I didn't elaborate.
When did Club Klondike start?
Club Klondike started in 1948.
Wow.
That building in 1917, it started out as part of a lumber mill. And the lumber mill closed down in like 1938, 1939. And then Club Klondike was kind of like the beginning of Lakehead. I was reading a thing, a story about the guy who started it. Thought, I'm going to start a town here. And so he started all that, and that was actually the center of Lakehead. Then when they put the freeway through and stuff, of course, then Lake Shore became Lakehead.
Hmm.
And
was he trying to brand the area Klondike?
Or, I don't know. Or maybe he was from Alaska.
For some reason, I love the name Klondike, but it has so many things like, you know, there's a cartoon character and there's the thing, which I was going to ask you, and I know it's stupid, but do you actually sell Klondike bars there?
No.
It's actually located on Main Street.
Yeah,
right?
Main Street, yeah.
That is the old Main Street before the freeway came out.
Couldn't you call it the Klondike Bar?
Well,
and have it be
well, see, the thing
bar
about
and grill.
Well, the thing about it is one guy he kind of dubbed it Best Dive on I-5.
Right. Mm. Okay.
And I prefer to call it a restaurant with a drinking problem. Mm. Because kids are allowed in there. Because I serve pizzas. You know, we serve food as long as we're open. I open
pizza
up at
Kool-Aid.
3 o'clock. I open up at 3 o'clock and I close, you know, sometime after 10, sometimes as late as 2. But I'm serving food as long as I'm open, so kids can be in there.
So, had you ever operated a restaurant before?
No, no. I actually I'm 63 years old, and
happy
it was
birthday.
2 years ago that I discovered there was alcohol in a Bloody Mary. I don't drink.
Uh-huh.
Good for you. I'm the same way.
A Bloody Mary is a good place to start, though.
Yeah, this lady came in, asked for a Bloody Mary, and my bartender was late, and I was just standing behind the bar covering for her. I go, "What's in it?" And she goes,
"What?
Huh?"
I wouldn't know either. I don't drink either.
Yeah,
so
I like a
good, I wouldn't
bloody,
even know.
Good Bloody
Mary.
Good
Bloody
Mary. Ooh, yum. it's almost like a full meal.
So
not ours.
No,
we're no frills. We're not downtown Judy Brown, baby.
Okay.
No, we just serve it.
Mm-hmm.
So any lessons you've learned operating a restaurant for 2 years, first time?
Not really. I mean, I've had businesses before, and so most businesses are businesses. You just gotta, restaurants are just a little harder to make money on than a lot of businesses. People don't realize
that. Because of margins?
Yeah, it's slim. You know, they go, oh, well, you're charging this much, and it's like, right. Well, yeah, but our cost, you know, our labor costs and all that other stuff, it's hard to make money on food. And these girls here, man, they kill it. They kill it.
Mm-hmm. She's all like, you damn
it's
straight.
It's still hard, though.
It is. It's, you know, I mean, yeah. Like,
so when you have five food trucks, is it one of those things that 1 month one is down and the other ones have to cover for the other?
It depends on the season. So, like, in season right now, like, even with five food trucks, we're turning events down because we don't have enough trucks to get there, or sometimes not enough staff to run them all to get there. So it's very seasonal. So I would say, like, March is when we start picking up, and then right after October we die. And then we're just down for 3 months being like, have us at your gas station. We'll do anything. But in season, I mean, we're booked out. Sometimes in, like, by April, we're booked out through October. So.
But you don't want people standing there in the rain, the food truck.
Yeah, people don't go out in the rain here. Mm-hmm. They don't go out in winter. So there's some, like, good events we'll do, like Christmas ones and stuff, but far and few between in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So the brick and mortar is nice because that's a little bit more consistent, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas we make all of our money in a couple months and try to survive the winter with the food trucks.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not in the technically the food business. I guess I am, but I'm not. But with our chocolate company, you know, I can't even imagine, because I'm sitting here going, you know, I've only been doing this for just now barely a year. And in that year alone, we've had almost a 70% increase in chocolate prices.
Yeah.
And,
no.
You know, you try to absorb some of it, but at some point you no longer can, unless you start passing it along, there's no point in even being in business.
But
right.
Think of the sandwiches, for instance. We hit a wall to where, you know, they're going to make a sandwich at home if we increase too much. But our meat has, I mean, turkey alone, we used to pay $3 a pound for. I was paying up to $9 a pound. But I'm supposed to keep a sub sandwich with how much meat we pile on, which is a lot, within reasonable margins. Yeah. So
well, that's the other thing that you see, right? You go get a sandwich.
And tri-tip, that one's been insane.
And now your sandwich is, you know, shrunk by almost 2 inches in height.
Because
they've taken, it's like lots of lettuce.
and that's one thing we've strived to not do. We have not changed our portions at all. Mm-hmm. I will try to charge more where we need to before I change our portions. Because if we're going to charge what we're going to charge, I want you to get your money's worth for it. And that is definitely getting harder and harder. And, I mean, you think of the employees, you're paying $20 an hour. Yeah. And, you know, it's a hard balance.
I'm sorry I didn't come over to you. I was on the side of town, but one of my boys was like, I need a sandwich. And can you just go up here at Subway? And I was like, yeah. And so he went in and got 2 footlongs, right? And it was $39.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, what happened to the $5 footlong?
Yeah,
and $5 times 2 is 10. We're talking from $10 to almost $40.
It's the new math.
And I was like...
Also, like, the food trucks, like, we do tacos, and people want the dollar tacos back.
Yeah.
We just can't do that.
No.
I mean, we would be
the
paying them...
The oil is a dollar.
Yeah.
The fryer
costs a dollar for
yeah,
the,
we would be paying them
for the,
to come and eat.
For the burrito, for
so
the
it's,
shell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
It's a rough balance. I mean, they're... It is a rough balance, and we really try because we still want to keep our quality up. We want to keep our portion size up.
I think people will remember if the quality goes down.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
But if the quality stays the same,
they will pay
more.
They will.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of they may not do it as frequently, but
I went through a drive-through and just got a burger meal, and it was $20 for a burger, fries, and a drink, and I'm all. That's expensive, and the quality's down.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we don't even the kids. We don't like no.
We drive through. Yeah. So, Severama, Holy Crepe,
and you're lucky that you got everything in the bag. If
yeah,
you did.
And Fast and Fresh.
Mostly they forget
really
everything.
Really strive to keep our quality up and buy the better products. We don't go down on quality because why? We'll lose customers.
Let's take our bottom of the hour break. And I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, me too.
We'll be right back.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Do you recognize the band?
No.
How about you?
What?
The band.
Coming in.
No, I didn't even hear it.
Oh, good old Grand Funk Railroad. Anyway, there you go. Welcome back, Shasta Live by the Shasta County Chamber.
Yes.
And Eat Shasta. It's all about food.
It is our Eat
Starting
Shasta.
Starting to get hungry. We Monday, have the historic the club, Klondike. I always want to add like a word to it, Club Klondike.
Bar,
or grill, or food. So, you were saying you were well known for pizza?
Yeah. Yeah. We had some people came all the way from Eugene just because they had our pizza once and wanted to have it again. They came from Eugene, stayed at the lodge next door, had our pizza, and went home the next day.
Oh, my gosh.
So what's the favorite type of pizza?
Our Klondike pizzas are most popular. It's got pepperoni, salami, sausage, black olives and bacon.
Wow. Ooh, I'm shivering.
How far away is that from here?
I know.
Took me about 23 minutes to get
it. What's your crust? Are you thin, thick?
It's not thick and it's not thin. It's okay. Kind of medium.
It's just a normal crust.
Yeah. Yeah, some people from Chicago, the lady goes, "Ow, I'll be the judge of that." And they ate it and she goes, "Wow,
not bad.
That's good."
Yeah.
So are you the chef also?
After my wife goes to bed around 9:30, the full kitchen closes down at 9, and then I have to do the pizzas after that. So
during the day, it's your wife?
Yeah.
She's the chef?
Yeah.
Is it a traditional pizza oven that you cook in, electric or gas?
It's a gas fire and it has a conveyor. So I can go back there, I can build the pizza and stick it on the end of the conveyor belt and forget about it for 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
People, you're not burning my pizza, are you? Jeez, I hope not.
Let me consult the robot.
What else is on the menu? Oh, you said a whole bunch
of stuff. We got burgers. We got New York steak. We got surf and turf. We got jumbo prawns.
Are they
chicken
beer battered or battered?
No,
are they?
I don't know. I don't do that.
Not the cook.
Oh, okay.
Not the chef.
I stand behind the bar.
Exactly.
So they're pretty.
Yeah. I can attest to that. It's amazing. Yeah. Gorgeous.
What are the what are your hours?
I open up every day at 3 o'clock, 2:33, somewhere around there, and I'm open till at least 10. Depending upon how busy we are, like last night, I turned all the outside lights off at 10 o'clock, and I left the front door open, and by 11, I think I had 8 more people in there.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
There was one time
I thought you were going to tell us you just leave the front door open, and I was like,
help yourself.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, after 10, it's like, help yourself.
There was one night I
put the money in the box, take it.
I had the lights out. I had 3 lights on in the bar, and all the outside lights were off. And I was making a couple pizzas for some people that were on their way to come get them. And these three guys walked in. They go, "You open?" And I go, "No, not really. I'm waiting for somebody to come get a pizza." And they go, "Oh, mind if we come in and have a couple beers?" Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, within 45 minutes, I had 35 people inside and 18 out on the back patio.
That'll tell you you're closing too early.
But it doesn't happen all the time.
No, right? I know.
And it was funny because two of the people that were waiting for the pizzas, they were bartenders at another bar, and they come back there while I'm making a pizza. They go, "Danny, let us know. We'll pitch in." And told them, "Nah." And that was before I got really busy. And then by the time I was really busy, they were bussing tables and taking orders for me.
So if you're driving on I-5 northbound,
if you're northbound
right now, and you're getting hungry, make your way up to Lakehead.
You take exit 704. When you're going north, you'll see us on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm. I think every time I drive that, I'm like, "There's the Klondike."
Yeah, right. If you're going north, if you're heading south, you pass us before you see us. But then all you got to do is flip a U-E right there on
right on the freeway. Yeah.
Yeah, just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's a spot right there where the CHP
especially
sometimes.
If you're an 18-wheeler.
Well, now I know what you actually serve in there. Yeah. I think we should, I think we need to make an effort to go up there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people, they go, "Do you serve food?" Yeah, we serve food. You know, it just some of the questions people ask are.
We have to have a round up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Silver Dollar, what are the plans?
So right now we've just been working on getting it cleaned and changing the vibe up a little bit. We are now open 7 days a week. So right now we open at 4 p.m. and stay open till midnight, but we're working on very shortly in the next couple of weeks. You'll see us open at 10 a.m. to midnight every day. And then
that's Saturday, for the breakfast drinks. Yeah.
Yes, mimosas and Bloody Marys. We do make our Bloody Marys from scratch because she is a Bloody Mary girl.
What's in those again?
Here we go, Casey.
This is a test for you, Emily. You're a bartender now, too.
Yes, I'm working on that one. That one's
Bloody Mary mix.
Well, no, we're doing it fresh, so we're using the actual
vegetable juice. Vegetable juice, okay.
The Worcestershire, Tabasco, celery salt, pepper, lime, horseradish.
I was going to say, please tell me there's horseradish in it.
Of course. And then, you know, all the fun veggies that you want to snack
vodka.
On. Vodka, absolutely.
Lots of vodka.
We also are doing mimosas. I mean, it's a full bar, so you can get whatever you want.
Mm. What's the best seller?
Drink wise, yeah, that's a hard one because there's so many
beer really right now.
Coors Banquet,
yeah, we go through a lot of stubby bottles for sure. A lot of Coors drinkers out there.
A lot of Coors.
Any room for dessert?
That's a coming attraction.
Yeah, that'll be the sweet treat food truck. Yeah.
The sweet treat. Have we actually seen the sweet treat?
I have not. No.
So what's on the sweet treat? Sweet treat
Silly
food
sweets.
Truck.
We have fresh made lemonade. We have shaved ice. We have infused Red Bulls. We have cotton candy. We have brownies. We have cheesecake. We have dipped ice creams. Huh. We're working on getting frozen bananas on the menu regular. Okay. So lots. Lots and lots.
Sounds like a sugar overload.
It is.
You need to get the world famous Tiki Room Dole Whip.
That, surprisingly, to have one of those machines, you have to go through the dairy board to have them approve your equipment. Oh. And that's not cheap.
Girl. Another permit?
Another permit. Another.
How many permits do you need to have a food truck?
Too many.
Too many. Too many. You have to have your county permit. Or the city that you work in wants you to have their city permit, and then you have to have your county permit, and each county that you do
requires the permit.
Yeah, each county. Like, I'm permitted in Plumas, Shasta, Siskiyou, Glen, Colusa.
Oh, my God.
Yuba County. And
do you just have it like the deck of cards?
Pretty much. And what's fun.
Pick a permit, any permit.
Fun, and insert sarcasm, is learning what each inspector wants.
Yeah.
You know, they have their quirks and their things that they're trained on and things that they look at, and you have to learn and remember.
And I feel like, and I'm sorry, no disrespect, I don't want to get myself in trouble either, but I feel like they truly cannot let you go without some type of an infraction. That's my experience.
Not always. And
well,
it
then
depends
you're lucky,
because
I get something. I've gotten something every single time they visited, and it's never something that they've pointed out before. It's always something new.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, you should have done that. Well, you didn't tell me that the last time. Well, I'm telling you now. And then the next time, oh, you should do this, and or you need to do that. But you didn't tell me. Like, how long can you not tell
me? Yeah, you went through hell with that one.
Yes,
I remember
did.
That.
What county was that?
Here.
Oh, here.
So
part of the problem, too, is each inspector has certain things that they look out for. So you'll kind of learn, like, hey, that inspector, she's going to be really picky about your microwave. Mm-hmm. And you make sure you wipe down the microwave when you see her coming.
Or don't have one.
Or don't have. You know, they each have their kind of quirks of, like, things that
oh,
they...
I'm sorry, darling. This isn't an NSF certified microwave. Oh, because that'll kill you if I put it on, if I heat your sandwich in a non-certified microwave.
You never question the inspectors. You say, yes, how can I, what do you want me to do? How can I fix this?
And that's why I probably.
See, James, that's why you failed.
Because that's
your problem.
I'm not into your BS.
Well,
right.
their job's to educate.
Uh-huh.
So when they come in and they point something out, if you're like, okay, how would you like us to do that? Or am I going to get written up every time if I choose to ignore this one? Because, I mean, there's been minor violations to where I'm like, I'm never going to fix that one loose tile that's under that carpet under my desk in my office. And I will let you write me up for that every time. I just don't, you know.
Is that a true story about that?
That is a true story. There is we closed that location, but there was a missing tile underneath our desk, underneath a carpet in the office.
Because you know why.
And
the thing for me is, see, now that I understand, because somebody could become extremely sick from eating your food in the restaurant because of that tile. Because
the tile under the carpet.
So there I inserted the sarcasm, right?
Right.
It's
right.
Like,
and you
like,
have
like,
to remember.
Really?
Yeah, you have to remember.
Nobody's going to die over
you're
that.
You're looking for more problems with them, aren't you?
You have to remember that the inspectors are really out for public welfare. And food is, I mean, technically we can kill people with the food. So
yes.
When you have the inspectors being
but so can the
thorough
car
and,
that's driving
and,
you on the way to pick it up.
Right. But when it's your business, I do have a lot of respect for the inspectors because they do have an important job, because if we mess up, then it's their mess up too. So as long as everybody's working together.
The only difference is
together,
they're immune. They're protected. You're not.
Right.
There's
some inspectors, I always say, I go, I wish some of the inspectors would come and actually work on the trucks with us for a couple of months.
Oh.
Then they get a feel for how real
that's
life
actually
happens.
Very smart.
You know.
So you would make for a good inspector at this point.
Yeah, but they don't want me to inspect places.
But you gotta
feel. Because in reality,
conflict of interest,
you have to
she'd say, shut them down.
You have to I take my job very serious, because the last thing I want to do is make somebody sick. And in all
right.
the years that I've been doing this, I've not had any reports, but I've worked with people that have made people sick. And, I would have shut them down. I would have been the inspector that would have shut them down.
There was a place up in Weaverville that shall remain nameless. I think,
is that where I got COVID?
No.
Oh.
No, there were quite a few people who got, food poisoning all at the same time.
My first time
and
ever
was,
getting
and
COVID.
It was the questionable chicken.
Was it in a restaurant in Weaverville? I got sick.
No, that was in Willow Creek.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Willow.
You know, you got to sympathize with some of these inspectors, because they come in there and some of them have attitudes, but their attitudes comes from
the people
everybody
that they
lying
face.
To them. I mean, because they don't want to get in trouble, so they're lying to the inspector and they're hiding stuff from the inspector. And, you know, inspectors come in expecting people to try to pull the wool over their eyes. And so they come in with an attitude, and you don't blame them, really. You know.
So, James, the moral of the story is you no longer deal with the inspector.
Exactly.
You have somebody else do it. Okay, and on that note, we'll take our last break.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind.
Well, we just learned something new. If your ice isn't cold enough.
Right. Only in Shasta.
Yeah.
Each Shasta, yes.
I can see in Shasta County would be the truly only place on Earth, well, a couple other places where your ice wasn't cold enough.
That was Siskiyou.
Because it's in
cause that was Siskiyou. That was
sarcastic. No, I'm not. I'm just being sarcastic because it's so damn hot here. I'm like, even your ice can't be cold enough.
The food trucks are hard in the summer because it's 20 degrees hotter in the truck than it is outside. Yeah. So when it's 105 or above here, we're just melting, and we can do the best we can. So you really have to know food safety so you can have smaller portions and toss and burn and do all the safe things in the summer.
Yep.
Okay, what are some of your other favorite places to eat in our
outside of your own world?
Outside of your own world.
We'll start with the Klondike.
Subarama is mine. I really don't go anywhere else. I spend most of my time up in Lakehead at the Klondike. I'll go to Camp Shasta up there.
Jeff?
They do a good breakfast.
So you eat your own food? Or are you burned out on it? Or are you still enjoying it?
I eat my own food every day.
Yeah.
Almost every day, I should say.
Yeah. Well, I can attest, though, to Subarama. I mean, we've had
Haven't we had two roundups there?
Have we had? No. And that was my first experience, was our first roundup, and you made several different types of sandwiches. And I know I talk about this every time I see you, but you had a hot sandwich, and I'm not typically a hot sandwich person. And I should say it was hot. It was warmed, right? Usually I eat everything cold. But it was mind-bending. I mean, I never remember what it is, but it had cream cheese on it.
Favorite child.
It was so good.
The favorite sandwich of everyone.
I ate it and I was like, you know, like the doors opened to heaven, and I was like, what is this warm sandwich with cream cheese and all these? It was had all kinds of stuff on it, but it just sung in your mouth. It was exceptional. It's not like a traditional, you know, place that you go to.
Did I what?
Did you pay him to say all that?
No, I'm loving it.
I just remember coming back to the coming back to the table, like, you know, very quickly trying to find, because you had all these flavors, right? And I was trying to hunt down another one of those. I'm like pulling them apart, checking them out. They were all good, but that one I just was like, wow, that was exceptional.
So when are we doing a roundup at the Dollar, the Silver Dollar?
Oh yeah, I suppose that could be a.
Well, we are doing a multi-chamber roundup. Well, multi-chamber shindig, we're calling it, on Friday, October 17th at Oasis Fun Center.
And what day is that?
Yes, that's your birthday.
presents. I'd like presents.
So the Palisadro Chamber and the Shasta Lake City Chamber will get together for an evening of fun at Oasis Fun Center.
Putt-putt golf.
Yeah. But we'll have to work something out where we come.
Yeah.
Silver Dollar.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking we'd go to Subarama again.
We need to do Klondike, too.
Well, we definitely need to do something with Klondike. Cause, yeah. You know,
come up there on a karaoke night, and you can sing your heart out.
Well, I'll take pictures.
Because, see, on Tuesdays, it's also Taco Tuesday, and that's the only day we don't have a full menu. We just do tacos and pizza.
And you have a few locals there for
That's
tacos.
That's not bad, though, either.
Yeah. Yeah, we do beef, pork, and chicken tacos and hard shell, soft shell.
Look at the small babies salad. Outside the windows.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite places to eat besides your own food trucks?
That's hard because we feed each other a lot from our food trucks. But when we do eat out, we try our best to support all the small local places. So we were going to Lulu's for a while.
Lulu's.
Roadrunner Grill in Shasta Lake, I hit up a lot for their tacos because it's on my way.
The one here, I can't think of the name right now. We go breakfast.
Trendy's?
Trendy's. We've gone to Trendy's. We've gone to Waffle Bites. Pretty much the non-chains we try to support because we understand.
I thought they were coming through the window.
Yeah, we understand the hardships and the what it takes to get a decent meal out there.
Yeah.
So we try to support all the locals we can.
Yeah. Larry, any new restaurants coming to town?
There actually is a couple. But I don't know if I can tell you.
You can.
It's top secret.
No, nothing in this room is top secret.
Well, Elwood has a new restaurant coming to South Cedar, right?
It's not Bella Vista, correct. Steakhouse.
Yeah. Right. And then the new Elwood Steakhouse in Bella Vista.
It took over View 202. It is now Divine.
Correct. That's going to be probably open up in a few months or a month.
I would say officially after the new year.
I think they're aiming for 30 months around there.
I think they have some private events prior to that, but then they are trying to make
it
public.
That'll be awesome. Yeah.
They did just get a chef. I do know that.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be good.
It's the chef from the Muppets, the Swedish chef. He's glorious.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Any else? Any other restaurants?
There's a lot of talk about different stuff, but I can't really say much yet. Soon.
It's a coming attraction.
You're coming attraction.
He's had to sign an NDA.
Well, that's one thing I learned about our area is that the percentage of restaurants to population is pretty high.
Right.
You know, we have a lot to choose from every single day.
But the percentage of good restaurants is low.
I was wondering, we were talking about, I forgot who we were talking about, how in so many restaurants, they may have good things on the menu, but the food tastes the same, almost, from restaurant to restaurant to restaurant. And it turns out, they get their food from the same supplier.
They're not making things from scratch or changing it. Because you can even get things like, you can buy soups from Sysco, but you can season them and change them. We don't do that. We make everything from scratch in Savarama, but it's hard to do that. You have to have like a master chef person like Donna over here to come up with recipes.
Well, and we started doing things from scratch because we have someone who has celiac and you don't realize there is gluten in a ton of things. I now read labels and I read labels and I go and I make it without the gluten.
Mm-hmm.
So that
I love you buy a bag of potatoes and you read it and it should be potatoes, but then it says gluten, blah, blah. And I'm like, how are there gluten in potatoes? I'm like, that's not natural.
If you just read labels when you go to the grocery store.
It's frightening.
And every mixed package has gluten in it.
Yeah, we have gluten-free food because Pam's gluten-free.
Yeah.
I won't get to stop and eat.
You made the comment that everybody has food the same, but I got to say the food truck industry or food truck vibe in Redding, Shasta County is very diverse.
Yes.
And it's really cool because if you watch food truck shows, which I am, they have all these type of different competitions, but Redding really actually has some outstanding trucks, and they're not all the same.
And how I say in the restaurants buy the stuff, the food trucks here do not do that. Like,
all the food trucks I know, they really do make their food from scratch, which is crazy because we don't even have a big kitchen to do that in, and everyone does that, and there's some phenomenal food trucks here in Reading.
Do most food truck people have some type of centralized or off-site, like, small kitchen that they work out of to, like, do all their prep?
So you have to have a commissary.
Oh, you can.
You have to. Okay. So whether or not you need it, you have to have one.
Okay.
For instance, Holy Crepe is a 32-foot trailer. That is a full kitchen. We don't need a commissary.
Yeah.
We come an hour ahead of time, make all our crepe mixes,
but
cook our meat and everything. But we still have to have a commissary to fill up our water tanks, to dispose of our sewer, we don't ever store anything off the trailer, but you know.
Do you know, does Shasta County that you know of at this point, and not that I'm thinking about it, but like have a common or a public, no, I don't know what you call it, commissary where multiple places can share?
There's only one that I am aware of, and that is,
I don't know the name of it, it's across from Final Draft. And that downtown.
Is it Sizzle's Kitchen?
Sizzle's.
Yes. Oh, okay.
They are the only, like, you can rent commissary that I'm aware of.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that. I'm smelling the bottoms of their feet. My commercial kitchen is underground underneath Sizzle's.
No.
Okay. So I'm good friends with the owners, and there are a lot of people that use Sizzle's. Yeah.
Yes, and it can be any commercial kitchen.
Yeah.
So, for instance, we use Saborama as our commissary for our food truck.
Totally makes sense.
If we need to store French fries, we have a freezer there where we can store them. So,
yeah.
So where's Holy Crepe right now?
Holy Crepe right now is parked in her driveway. Oh,
we serving crepes?
I thought you were going to tell me it was at the crepatorium.
Well, you know. I was thinking about going to get some French fries, but we'll
no, we were resting today because we actually, it was a very cool sight last night because we were at the Chevelle counter at the Civic Center working, and they actually had lined 4 of our food trucks up in a row. And
that was impressive.
And it was very impressive and cool seeing all 4 of them just in a little row together because we normally are scattered everywhere.
Did you take lots of pictures to show?
No, it was a busy one.
We didn't.
Your Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But it was kind of cool because I stepped back and I looked and I was like.
You had a little weep in your eye, a tear.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Look at what us girls are doing.
Our little empire of food trucks. Yeah.
Okay. Club Klondike. Any future plans? Any future plans for it? Keep everything as is?
You gotta keep it the same. You can't change anything with a historic bar because it just ruins
taboo.
The whole...
It's taboo.
Yeah, it's taboo. I mean... There were people that were upset because they heard we got rid of the shuffleboard table that's been there for 60 years, you know, and like, first of all, I don't even know if I can move that thing. It weighs 10,000 pounds. It's 20 feet long, you know? But no, just
nasty gossip.
Just try to bring it back to its former glory where everybody has fun. There's music and good food. And
any live music?
Oh, yeah. Every Friday night. And then wintertime, sometimes I don't do live music. But
I was booked for two Fridays from now. I'm doing a whole scene from opera.
Really?
Great. We just get off business.
I think you have the wrong genre there.
We have some bands that just call us because they want to play there.
Yeah,
you know, because they've heard about the Klondike.
It's a rock opera.
Okay,
Nigel. And there's actually a big history of music there because Leon Womack owned the place for a while, and he was a singer and songwriter and played music with Willie and Merle and Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And
nice.
When he owned the place, big names would stop and
play on the stage all night long. Transporting. That's
Leon
fine.
Does my karaoke every Saturday.
Hmm. Have you guys played there?
No. I don't know if we'd actually fit there. We'd be pretty tight.
Well, you'd have to have some of you on the dance floor.
Yeah, like half the band.
And how about for you guys with the Silver Dollar? Any?
Just scrubbing it up, getting nice and shiny.
Yeah, as he said, with a historic bar, you really can't change anything. That's the first thing that anyone comes in and meets us. They're like... Are you going to change things? Pissed. What are you doing? And we're like, nope.
Yeah, you're not getting rid of that poster in the bathroom, are you?
I was surprised it was still there.
So,
So very much the same. We're just trying to improve on what's there, keep it the same, you know, place everyone loves, add fun events, add things to make it fun. We're doing, like, some paint and sips. We added TVs. I was like, no one's going to mind a bunch of new TVs to be able to watch football and, you know, things that improve upon it but don't change the history and right. what everyone loves about it.
Well, Larry, thank you for bringing everybody in. Club Klondike.
Download the app.
Five food trucks. Eat Shasta. Subarama. Silver Dollar. Thank you very much for joining us.
Fast and fresh.
Fast and fresh. Yeah. Sweets and treats and eats and meats.
We'll see you next week.
That was fast.
Right?
Yeah.